Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, text number 49. Atanityam anityam va neha sojanti tad vidha nanyata shakyate kartum sabhava sochitam iti. Ata, therefore, nityam, the eternal spirit soul, anityam, the temporary material body, va, or, na, not, iha, in this world, sochanti, they lament for, tat vidha, those who are advanced in knowledge of the body and soul. Na, not. Anyata, otherwise. Sakyate, is able. Kartum, to do. Sabhava, the nature. Sochitam, of those prone to lamentation. E.T. thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. For persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. Therefore, it is difficult to educate a person in illusion. Purport. According to the Mimamsa philosophers, everything is eternal, nitya, and according to Sankhya philosophers, everything is mitya, or anitya, impermanent. Nevertheless, without real knowledge of Atma, the soul, such philosophers must be bewildered and must continue to lament as shudras. Srila Shukadeva Goswami therefore said to Pariksha Maharaj, Shodhavyadini Rajendra Ninam Shanti Sahasrashaha Apashitam Atmatatvam Griheshu Grihamedinam. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to knowledge of the absolute ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society, O Emperor. The Bhagavatam 2.1.2. For ordinary persons engaged in material activities, there are many, many subject matters to understand, because such persons do not understand self-realization. One must therefore be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstances in life he will remain steady in his vows. Ata nityam anityam va deha sochanti tadvidaha nanyata sakite karatum svabhava sochitam iti. Those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. But persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. Therefore, it is difficult to educate a person in illusion. So the purpose of knowledge is explained here, very simply, that if we have the proper knowledge, then we can remain steady in our vows. And if we don't have perfect understanding, perfect knowledge, then our vows may flicker. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, that maya sakta manakparta yogam yunjan manashaya asamshayam samagramam ita gyasasi tashinu. Hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. In other words, doubt is always there because we don't see things clearly. And why don't we see things clearly? Because we have a tendency to want to accept the dictations of material nature as real, and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not so important or not so real. So we minimize the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and we are inclined to the philosophy of sense gratification, then of course Maya will provide all the doubts so that we actually think, well, maybe Krishna consciousness is real, maybe it's not real, but the immediate desires have to be fulfilled because why take a chance and waste my life trying to become self-realized? So this is Maya, Yoga Chalati Manasa. Maya has given so many living entities, so many philosophies since time immemorial. As explained here, we have the Sankhya philosophy saying that everything is eternal, and though the Mimamsa is saying everything is eternal, and the Sankhya is saying, or the Sankhya, Kapiladeva, not the real Kapiladeva, but the so-called Sankhya philosophy saying everything is mitya, or false, illusory. So, how can everything be eternal and illusory at the same time? They're completely different philosophies. And yet, they're represented by sages. Therefore, it says, Tarko apratishta shuti avibina nesavari shiri yasyanabinam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katasapanta. Generally speaking, we're always inclined to arguments, especially in Kali Yuga. As soon as there's a conversation, usually there's an argument that ensues. But even if I can show you that my philosophy is superior to your philosophy by so much reasoning and logic, but someone may come along and defeat both of us and establish their philosophy as even more reasonable than both of our philosophies. And that can go on endlessly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was a young student, he was a professor of Naya, or logic. And he used to experiment with some devotees, like Mukunda. He'd stop Mukunda and try and get him into an argument. And if he could get Mukunda into an argument, then he'd defeat Mukunda's arguments, whatever he was saying. And then he'd turn around and defeat all the arguments that he just used to defeat Mukunda's arguments. And that way he established himself as a great logician, Naya. Of course, when he met Keshava Kashmiri, then he not only he said, well, I don't know grammar, and I don't know all the rules of grammar and style, but I've heard from authorities, and therefore I'll analyze it according to your verse that you just quoted about the River Ganges. I'll analyze it according to the authorities. So in that way, he found five faults and five alankars, embellishments, and he said, well, actually, there's so many things I can find in this verse, right and wrong, but I'll just give these five principal ones. So that can go on endlessly. There's no end to how much you can find fault and how much you can appreciate. One side is appreciating, the other one's finding fault. So tarka apratishta shrutaya vivina. And even if we study the scriptures, we shouldn't expect that the scriptures are 100% in agreement, just like there are 18 Puranas, histories with the idea of giving some principles. And six of them are for those in the mode of ignorance, and six of them for those in the mode of passion, and six Puranas are specially meant for those in the mode of goodness. And they don't necessarily agree with each other. There's even one book that explains the Ramayana in which Ravana is the hero. So if you're a demon, you want to read something and you don't want to read Valmiki's Ramayana because it's too depressing to you, then here's a chance to read a Ramayana where Ravana is the hero. Same time, you get a little association with Lord Ramachandra as the Ravana is the saintly person and Ramachandra is the demon. but at least you get associated with Ramachandra in some way. So, Shuddhi Abhibhina. There's so many scriptures, and they don't necessarily agree with each other. They're meant for different audiences. And we may not know exactly who we are or what audience we're supposed to be. And therefore, we may read indiscriminately so many books and become completely bewildered. Nasavari Shirya Syadnibinam. And if we take shelter to find out from the sages who I am and what am I supposed to be doing, that they don't necessarily agree with each other either. Prabhupada said, if you take a pebble and you throw it into a lake, then it'll make circles. But if you throw it in the same place, they'll keep making the same circles, but they won't clash with each other. But if you throw them in different parts of the lake, then they'll all make circles and they'll clash with each other. So when we accept different authorities, then of course the circles are going to, of their philosophies, are going to collide with each other. And everyone will become confused if they're actually trying to figure out in that way, what is reality? What is the absolute truth? There's one philosopher who says that Astavakra, that everything is just made out of atoms, that you and I are just atoms. He doesn't say we're even special atoms, we're just another atom. And another one says Gautama, that impersonal Brahman is the absolute, that actually the ultimate objective should be to become merged, that everyone becomes one in the absolute. And others say fruitive activities are the goal of life, karma amongst the philosophers, or so many different philosophers. By argument, we won't reach a conclusion, an absolute conclusion. By studying the scriptures, so many varieties of scripture, we'll probably get more bewildered than we already are, what the purpose of life is and how to achieve it. And if we study all these different philosophers, they don't agree with each other either. So how to find out the truth? Dharma cittatvam nihitam guhayam. That there is a possibility that reality is in someone's heart. Someone may have realized what the absolute truth is. Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and one devotee said, Prabhupada, that they say that no one has seen God. Prabhupada's response, well, that, how can they say that no one has seen God? Have they done a survey of everyone in the universe, at least, and asked them if they've seen God? No, they haven't done that. What they're saying is that they haven't seen God. But how can they say that no one has ever seen God just because they haven't seen God? So this is called, there's inductive and deductive logic. So this is inductive. I haven't seen God, and therefore no one has seen God. And deductive is that right? Inductive. And deductive is there is a God, and maybe someone has seen him, but we have to find out who has seen God. So dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Someone might know the absolute truth. That we can't say. Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and one boy asked, Swamiji, could you tell us about Buddhism? So Prabhupada's response was, have you studied Buddhism? And he said, no. He said, well, you study Buddhism, then you can come back and ask the question. Otherwise, what is the value of asking the question? If you don't even bother, you haven't studied it, you're not following it, you don't know anything about it. So whatever I say, why will you necessarily accept it? So why just ask questions without any purpose behind them? Just like it says here, that the purpose of knowledge becomes fixed in vows. Now, who is studying knowledge becomes fixed in their vows? Except for the vows, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, they believe that to gratify their senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. Therefore, there is no measurement for their anxieties. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. So, people are determined, they made a vow to live in the material world and enjoy their senses. Griha Vratanam, it says. Materna Krishne Parataksito Va Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vratanam. So there are people that rejected any idea that Krishna could be God, the last person to put their consciousness on and ask anything of it from, is Krishna. So Matira and the Krishna, not Krishna, Matira consciousness. But Matira and the Krishna, Parataksatova. But they'll ask all their friends, they'll ask great, big authorities in a particular field, they'll ask, they'll try to combine them together and reach a conclusion. But ultimately their field of inquiry is always the same. Griha. Griha means house. And the first house we're living in is this body. So the whole idea is to make my body comfortable, make it strong, make it live as long as possible, and then try to help my family, because they're my soldiers, Sanyeshu. They can protect me. They can help me in my endeavor for my own personal happiness. So therefore I accept some service to them too, if I can get some reciprocation that makes me more secure and happy. And when I've satisfied that, then maybe my neighborhood, we have a police watch that anyone who comes steps on our lawn, the police come and arrest them. Or maybe my city, we elect the mayor and they keep all the criminals out, or at least keep them confined to a certain region of the that don't bother us. And if I can satisfy that, then we work on the whole country and or maybe humankind, we try to help them. But the whole idea is it's all remain fixed on the Griha Vratanam, on this idea that let me serve my senses, Adantagovira Vichitamta Mizram Punak Punas Charvitana Punak Charvita Charvanana. The whole purpose, whether it's my own personal gratification or extended, is just to gratify senses, satisfy the demands of the body. And it's just going on, punak punas charvita charvanam. Itevidu swarta katim hi vishnu. They don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Krishna. Darashya ye bahir artamaniya. Therefore they accept insignificant things as the purpose, what they have a vow to obtain. And that's the knowledge they're interested in. To fulfill their vow, they acquire so much knowledge about a particular field. As soon as the next iPhone comes out, there'll be manuals, big manuals telling you how to use it. And all the glories of hell, he'll help you in your endeavor for economic development and sense gratification. You can use it now because you've been fired from your job. It'll probably come with all the numbers you can call up to try to you and the other 3 million people trying to get a job will call. So they have faith that this material technological advancement or whatever it might be will actually make me happy, and they're acquiring knowledge how to actually execute the instructions that come with the manual so that I can actually get my satisfaction and senses. They made a vow to remain within that field. They rejected the spiritual field. But for those who are interested, dharmasya tatvam nihitam gohayam, in the self-realized heart of a self-realized person, there are instructions that can help us obtain experience on the spiritual level. And mahajano yena katasapanta. So therefore, everyone's going to follow some mahajan. We have to choose a mahajan. Everyone follows a leader. Yad yad acharya shestas tat tat eve turo janaha siyat pramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate. So nowadays mass media is our authority. Whatever the latest rock star or movie star that we like, whatever they're saying, we take as important. Even if it's in a field they know nothing about, they don't even know, you know, where the country is in Europe, but they're making some pronouncement about it. And people, because they like their movies or like the way they look, they take them as an authority, as their mahajan, and they'll follow them no matter what they say or do. So everyone has an authority. Everyone has a Mahajan. We may have multiple ones, and therefore we're not even quite, we can't even remember exactly why I'm doing things, because we have so many examples and instructions in our mind, and some of them contradict each other, and we don't even know what the source of them are, but we follow them anyhow, because we have to follow someone or something. But there's a possibility, Mahajano Yena Katasa Panda. If we choose the right authority, we choose the right personality, then we might make progress in spiritual life. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he sets the standard that the body is changing, but the self is not changing. So both things are there. The body is temporary, as Hiranyakashipu was saying previously in the previous verse, but the soul is eternal. If we can't accept that, if we can't understand that, then there's no question of spiritual life. If we don't believe in spirit, how can you have a spiritual life? Why would anyone endeavor for spiritual life if they don't believe there's a spirit? If they believe everything is illusory, then there's no question of endeavoring for anything but enjoying the illusion. And if we believe everything is eternal, and it doesn't really matter what I do, that everything is eternal, then why should I bother? Because whatever I do is spiritual, is eternal. If I eat meat, it's spiritual. If I play tennis, it's spiritual. It's all spiritual. It's all eternal. As I said before, Vaishyasika Prabhu would ask people on the say to people he was distributing books to on the street that these are spiritual books, and I see that you're a spiritual person. What kind of spiritual activity you're into? Why fly model airplanes? I knew you were spiritual. I could tell it in your eyes, I could see it. So some people think everything they do is spiritual. They even have this thing that sex is also spiritual. They have their manual, the Kama Sutra, and they study it very carefully. It's the only book they study. And they have full faith in that and nothing else. But Krishna says, actually, if someone has some intelligence, then they can see the body's changing, but the self within the body is not changing. Everyone is eternal. The soul is eternal and the body is temporary. So that's the beginning of inquiry, Brahma Jignasu, inquiring about Brahman. And later, of course, there's inquiry about Paramatma and Bhagavan. But unless we realize that we're eternal, why will we worry about anyone else being eternal? We don't accept the fact that we're eternal, then why will we try to find out if anyone else is eternal too? If I'm just going to disappear, what do I care what everyone else is doing? Because I won't be around to find out. I'm just going to merge into the nothingness. But I'm eternal, and I'm going to have to live with everyone eternally. I might as well find out who the supreme eternal person is, who's controlling the whole thing, so I might be able to, you know, get in good with him, and maybe he can help me out. So, Krishna, he's giving the message in Bhagavad Gita, and the Mahajan, one is a Mahajan who's actually repeating Krishna's message and living according to it, who has understood it to different degrees, and the best Mahajan is one who actually has realized these things internally and can apply them externally, expertly. So this is more or less what Hiranyakashipu is telling his relatives. How much are they going to apply it? I don't know. But according to the Krishna book, according to Prabhupada's statement about Kamsa, demons are not to be trusted. They make one determination, one vow, and then when their sense gratification is interfered with, or they desire more sense gratification, they completely forget about what their vow is, and they do whatever whim the material senses and mind dictate to them, no matter how abominable it may be. So, Hiranyakashipu is preaching to his relatives, and not necessarily pure devotees. He's trying to get them to stop lamenting, and after that, it's up to them whether they want to take this seriously or not. Because he didn't take it seriously either. The devil cites scripture. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. This verse says that one who understands the spiritual nature will not lament. At the same time, it seems that a lot of people taking to spiritual life come from some suffering or lamentation or some pessimistic outlook, and then they take up spiritual life, and also many devotees take up spiritual life based on that negative outlook. So is that a good target audience, people who suffer and lament, that we offer them some solution? Or should we better look for people who are happy and offer them some higher?
Well, we don't expect very many happy people to be there. There are two kinds of people who lament. There's the mudhas, those who are atheistic, who are mudha, has no intelligence. They're lamenting, and they're lamenting really that they're not getting enough sense gratification. If you just feed them and give them opportunities for more sense gratification, they stop lamenting for some time. And there are those who have actually become disgusted to a certain degree with sense gratification, and they want some other higher understanding and activities which will take them out of their lamentation. So they're called shudras. They're lamenting, but they're not lamenting like the mudhas, who are only lamenting because they're separated from the objects of the senses. They're lamenting because they're suffering, and they have some idea that maybe there's some higher understanding of how to get free from this lamentation than just gratify my senses. So certainly first, the mudhas are not a very good target audience. And the second, our potential target audience, if we can give them some appeal to take up a process such as chanting Hare Krishna, where they'll actually be able to, you know, apply it within their lives and see the happy result, that their material desires go down and therefore their lamentation will go down. Shudras. Those who are, or in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, those who are artha artis, those who are suffering. So those are those, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, those are the people who generally classify in the Vanashram system as shudras. They're lamenting, but they're willing to follow higher authority to actually free themselves from their lamentation to advance in life. Anything else? Yes.
I have another question. We seem to be criticizing iPhone civilization, but we ourselves seem to be using iPhones to the max. So some people will criticize us for criticizing iPhones, but using them also very effectively.
Yeah, well, hopefully we're using the iPhone and other technology to help us spread Krishna consciousness for communication so that people understand what our value and our aims are and what our process is. So that's called Nirbandha Sambandhe Krishna Vairagyam Uchite. That anasaktasya vishayan yatarha upuyunjitaha nirabandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya uchite. That the renunciation of things that can be utilized in Krishna service is incomplete renunciation. Real renunciation is when things are utilized that can help our own Krishna consciousness and help others become Krishna conscious too. So what I was criticizing is not the iPhone, but the use of technology and the study of the technology outside of Krishna consciousness for sense gratification. That people, I was pointing out, that people have to accept an authority and follow it. So if they accept an authority in order to improve their lives, such as iPhones or computers, whatever, technology or anything. But they utilize it simply to increase their sense gratification, then it's not really going to help them. It's just going to be punak punas charvita charvananam. It's just going to be the same thing over and over again. Prabhupada gives the example, if you steal a cucumber, going to Chanaka Pandit, Chira, and you're a thief. But if you technologically become very expert and you steal a diamond, Chira, you're still a thief. So whether you use technology or you utilize, you know, a stick or whatever, your bare hands to do something, but if the aim is sense gratification, the result will be the same, no matter how sophisticated you study and explore the material world technologically or otherwise, you would just wind up doing the same thing anyhow. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. Sometimes we get stuck in just meditating all the time on our anarthas and our faults, and we are afraid of falling down, and we just get stuck in this cycle. It's not, nothing we do is helping, and we just in the process forget about Krishna. We're just focused on our anarthas. So how can one get out of this?
Well, that's what Maya's trick, of course. It's part of anartha nivritti. That Maya is going to tell us that we're going to solve our problems by focusing on them. That somehow or another, with our teeny beeny weeny intelligence, we're going to figure everything out by ourselves. And the result is that we simply chew the chewed. Simply over and over again, thinking of the same thing over and over again, without any solution. Rather than the solution is to turn towards Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and try to ascertain what the path of getting free from this anartha or this problem is through taking shelter of them and ultimately taking shelter of Krishna. So that's our alternative. Otherwise, everyone in the material world is facing with problems, and everyone is usually using their own tiny brains to figure it out, or maybe they're using someone else's tiny brains to help them figure it out, or maybe a whole collection of things. But generally speaking, it doesn't solve their lamentation, because, or sometimes it does, sometimes people in a higher mode can help you, someone get out of the lower mode, but then when you examine the lives of the people in the higher mode, especially in Kali Yuga, they have the same, if not more, problems than everyone else has. So therefore, ultimately, we have a choice. Either we take shelter of people who have similar problems that we have, or bigger problems than we have, or we take shelter of someone who's free from problems and can tell us how to get free from the problems too. Anything else? Yes.
Shortly before I came more in contact with Christian consciousness, I attended some, people spoke public thing, and one professor said that he at one point decided to search for God. I mean, he was an atheist, but then he said, why not? If you are sincere, you should ask yourself. And then he went to the faculty of theology and things, and he did it for a year or two, said. And then somehow, he wasn't fried completely, but he said he came at, he arrived at no definite conclusion, so he continued with searching in a usual way. I mean, so obviously some griha vows are relaxed at one point if people are a bit thoughtful or a bit sincere. So how can you help such a person, for example? And also in Sankirtan, I met one professor who said the same thing, and even he was quite interested, but a little bit proud. But how can you help such a self-confident but somehow sincere people, proud maybe a bit.
Well, someone might be able to help them, but it'll take a person who has a lot of potency, because if people are proud, they're not very submissive. And if they're not very submissive, it doesn't matter what you tell them, they're not going to listen to it. Therefore, it says that in the age of Kali, that Alpa, was the first word there? Kalpa prayena yapusha jana, kalavasmini gejana, manda simanda matiyo, manda bhagu podrutaha. Then in the age of Kali, people will have but short lives. Prayena yapusha jana, kalavasmini, no, not jana. What? Sabya, so and it's learned people. Prayena yapusha sabya kalavas when you gauge not. Then in the age of Kali, people will have but short lives, and they're lazy, they're unlucky, they're unfortunate, they're always disturbed. So part of that is that they're unfortunate, because even if they become interested in spiritual life, they usually approach the wrong people to understand it. But if someone meets you and you tell them that story, then tell them, you know, what's the difference, you know, explain the difference between the soul and the body. If they don't listen to you, then they're not really very serious. First of all, they don't respect you as an authority, because they're not listening to you. And even if they're telling them the truth, they won't listen to that either. So they say they're the seekers, people who are claiming they're sincere and seeking. But the last thing they want to do is find out something, because that will take away their status as a seeker. And so therefore it doesn't matter what you tell them, they're not going to accept it. Prabhupada said if someone's asleep, it's easy to wake them up. But if someone is actually awake, but they're pretending to be asleep, then it's impossible to wake them up. Yes. Yes, that's modern society. Don't accept anything as real. That's what the academia teaches. As Prabhupada was in that more in the garden in Los Angeles with the theologians. And he was saying, here I am presenting Krishna to you, the person has all beauty, all strength, all knowledge, all opulence. What is a better definition for God? So why don't you accept it? You know, because you're not really theologians. You're not really. You're just studying. You're not really interested in God. You're just interested in the academics. But here's the definition. Give a better. If you don't like my definition, give a better one. But they won't accept it. Doesn't matter what you tell them, because their whole idea is to be feel superior. That I'm a seeker. Everyone else is a muddha, but I'm a seeker. So when they realized, if they actually found out that they were equal to everyone, everyone is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of Aaron's size, it wouldn't be very tasteful for their false ego. So they're trying to gratify their false ego, how wonderful they are, and they found out that they're not so wonderful, they don't become very happy about that philosophy. It's exactly the opposite of what they're trying to prove. They want to prove that they're all ultimately should be the center, and they find out that someone else should be the center. So that's they don't want to hear that for anything. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.